Juliet and I were at student church this week, and they let us talk a bit about relationships. And one of the questions just came up, you know, what do I do with lust in relationships? Or, and I took it just generally. And I gave a few answers, which I think were okay. And I said, you know, are you happy with that? And she said, yes. And I just went home, and I just felt from the Lord that on that answer, there was more. There was more to give. And so this week, I was just praying for you all. And I felt the Lord just say, you give them the tools to be free, and I'll come in power and set them free. So that's what I'm going to try and do. Okay, I'm going to chat with you. And let me first say, we now belong to Jesus. If you've given your life to Jesus, you belong to Jesus. There's no condemnation here. In fact, there's no condemnation in Christ. He has made you clean. And so that's where we're starting tonight. So we've been going through the words of Jesus. And Jesus says this in Matthew 5, verse 27. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better. Don't you love Jesus? Kind of goes to the jugular, doesn't he? It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. Okay. So, our society is obsessed with sex. You don't need me to tell you that. Right through history, mankind has had this obsession. But what I don't want you to do is confuse sexual desire with lust. Two totally different things. Christians believe that sexual desire is good and a healthy thing, given by God to be enjoyed. We believe that this gift from God is to be enjoyed between a man and a woman who've committed themselves to each other in marriage. I believe that the Bible teaches that Christians should wait for marriage before they engage in sexual relations. I think God has given this clear boundary. We live in a society where that would almost be laughed at now. And in fact, since the 1960s, we have seen a turnaround in society where pretty much anything goes. And it's really quite interesting, because we're now starting to reap some of the fruit of that philosophy. Do whatever you want. Except when we free people to do whatever they want, and a child is raped, or a student is raped on campus, then we don't like it so much, this free love. And then we start drawing some boundaries. Oh, well, no, we don't like that. But right at the beginning, we said, do whatever you want. There's no one to tell you what to do. And what I want to start by saying is, what God has said is sex and sexual relations is good. He created it. My goodness, Solomon had 600 wives. I mean, exhausted. Okay, God, that's why we get Song of Songs. God is not a prude. Okay, but what he said is that that sexual relations are for a man and a woman who come together and become one, and it is a divine mystery. So what does lust look like? Because what happens in the world is that the good gift that God has given has been twisted. Lust, this is a little definition, you can might be able to find another one. Lust is when sexual desire is the overpowering factor in a relationship. It is when all we can think about is someone's body and what it would be like to take it, possess it, conquer it. Thomas Aquinas likens it to a lion who sees a stag, thinks of nothing else but the meal he's about to enjoy. Fun for the lion, but not so much fun for the stag. You see, lust is about conquest and possession. It has no thought for the person. It is about meeting our desires. It is like having a snack or relieving ourselves at the toilet. That's lust. Now, we have given our lives to Jesus. But this wave of sexual desire stroke lust can just come over us at any time. King David, so I want to just show you a bit of the story of King David. Some of you know about the story of David and Bathsheba. David is the king of Israel. And this is why I want to say, David is God's man. David is a man after God's own heart. And he falls to this temptation. So 2 Samuel 11 says this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Amorites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One of the things of lust is it tends to feed on aloneness. It's when we're alone that it starts to feed. You see, when you're playing football, you're focused on the game. And it's not normally a problem. When you're busy, you're focused, and so it's less appealing. We all live busy lives, but it's what happens when we land from the busyness. You see, David was supposed to be at war. Instead, he stayed home to watch TV. And he found something else to watch. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Girls, try not to bathe on roofs. Okay, you're gonna get into all sorts of trouble. So obviously, it wouldn't be a problem for us. But unfortunately, it's not women bathing on roofs that's a problem to us. It's what's on the TV. It's what's on computers. It's what's on your phone. You see, if you channel hop, Google just about anything, even if you don't Google it, funny, we were just talking about in prayer, there is a deluge of pornography being thrown at you. You know, I can't tell you how many young, beautiful women who are not probably women want to befriend me on Facebook. And it's not because of my good looks. And the way I know is, you know, you scroll down and their history is like two posts. I think, that one's dodgy. I'm not gonna do that. So, David is channel hopping, he's roaming on the roof, and he sees Bathsheba bathing. So David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent a word to David saying, I'm pregnant. This is the king of Israel. This is God's guy. You see, at this point, you see, the moment his gaze went from oh, there's a woman bathing on the rooftop, to I want that woman, the enemy had him. And the moment that, you know, what is the difference between looking and lust? And it's normally about 5 seconds. It's, you see, it's, there's nothing wrong with looking going, wow, she's beautiful or he's handsome. But it's when our eyes are captured that Peter says that the devil prowls like a lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I have friends that actually have lions in South Africa, not here. And they have lions on their game reserve. Now, apparently, what a lion does is it circles its prey. And what happens is that the deer, say, as the lion circles, it gets closer, but the deer gets disorientated. And apparently, when the lion is still a good distance away from the deer is dead. Because the lion is, even though it's a long way off, it's too close. And the deer is so disorientated, the lion pounces and has lunch. You see, Jesus says that adultery starts with the eyes. It starts by what we see. What we look at enters our hearts. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. Why? He goes on. It's a fire that burns to destruction. Now, what I'm not saying, okay, is that women, and I'm talking as a guy, okay, because that's all I know, okay? You couldn't choose what you were when I was younger. I've always been a guy. So, what I'm not saying is that women, it's all your fault. You've just got to cover up, otherwise you'll send men crazy. I'm not saying that. However, Paul does say, dress modestly with decency and propriety. And he would have probably have said the same to the guys as well. I know fashion changes. If you want, girls, if you want to get a guy's unwanted attention, show cleavage. I think it's because we don't have them. And there is just an effect that it's like, guys just can't help themselves. So, dress modestly. I'm not talking about being prudish. I'm only a guy. We'll get one of the girls to say what guys can do, you know. But anyway, on dress, we're not telling people off, okay? But rather offering an alternative, the way God wants us to live. You see, the moment David decided he wanted Bathsheba, it was over. The enemy had him. And I want us to walk free. And the reason I'm talking about it, as a young guy, I was determined that nothing would master me except Jesus. Now, we didn't have the internet. We had Page 3. We had magazines. And there were videos. At the best of my knowledge, I've never seen a pornographic video. Okay, and I'm just saying that's a good thing. And there were magazines, but they were all on the top shelf, so I could just eyes gaze down with the occasional peek. But it's the 2 second to the okay? I'm a man. This is real life. How are we going to live as free people? I want to just really quickly give you some tools that I think will help you. And the first one is your relationship with God. When you come to Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are not lustful. In fact, if the fact that you would even worry about that means you are a new creation. Because before you came to Christ, you didn't care less. Romans. You couldn't care less. But now, what do I do? Before, it mastered you. But now, Christ is in you. You see, that before you came to Jesus, it was in you. Because you were dead in your sin. Now you have come to Jesus, it is an external problem, not an internal problem, because you have a new heart. That's why he died on the cross, you die with him in the ground, and you come up. You are a new person. So now, any of the things you're battling with or fighting with is an external problem, not an internal problem. It's not you, it's sin waging war against you. That's what Paul says. So, when we're in any kind of struggle, we take it to the Lord. You know, as Psalm 42 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. By day, he has directed his love onto me. Everywhere I go, everything I do, and by night, his song is over me. The Lord is all around us. Everything has changed. You see, the first step of getting free from unwanted lust is to know God. To give our lives to Jesus, to walk once again in the garden, to experience his love in our lives, his embrace, and his song. And to bring it all to him. Whatever's going on in our head, whatever we're seeing, bring it all into the presence of Jesus. You see, when we're in his presence, everything changes. This cannot be done by legalism. It cannot be done by covering women up, having laws against prostitution. It's a heart issue that only Jesus can change. And you know, we see people as Jesus sees them, not as a slab of meat to be used, but rather as sons and daughters who Jesus loves. That's what Jesus has done in our life, relationship with God. Number two, your eyes. Deal with the problem at the beginning, what you look at. Once upon a time, there were computers that didn't look like computers today. And just as things like Windows came into being, we had a thing called WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. You see, computers didn't used to display amazing pictures on the screen. It was all code. And we had to program in code to get a computer to add a few numbers. So it was amazing when WYSIWYG displays came and you could actually write a document and as it was on the screen is what would come out of the printer. Well, it's exactly the same with us. What you see is what you get. What you bring in to your eyes is what your will be worked out into your life. So Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, he's using exaggeration to get effect. What he's saying is, watch what your eyes do, have control, and look away. Now, I used to work on building sites. I mean, we walk in building sites, there were naked women pictures everywhere, and I'm like, I really was. I'm a young guy. I'm trying to keep pure, and wherever I walked, and it was like, you know, there was one site in Birmingham, Junction 6, where we were building Spaghetti Junction. And they were building there, and I was on the site. And as I came on site, I'd shared my faith with the manager a number of times. Over the tannoy would come, everyone, Steve's a Christian, could you please not swear on site? A true story, as I drove on over the tannoy, and of course, everyone was laughing. And I wanted to add, could you take down all the pictures of the naked women that are all around everywhere I looked? But I learned to turn my eyes away. Paul says, I beat my body so that after preaching to others, I will not be disqualified. So sometimes we're driving along and there's a billboard, or you're looking at something on TV, or you're just looking at stuff and stuff's coming in, and you break the 5-second rule. What Paul's talking about is slap yourself. Get your eyes back in heaven. And if you don't do it and you've got a good friend next to you, let them do it. But why am I saying? Because we're taking control of what we look at. It's a choice. Because we're no longer what we were. We now belong to Jesus Christ. And we're not going to get sucked in to something that is very destructive. The single most destructive thing that we deal with in marriages in this church is addiction to pornography. And I can't, it destroys marriages. You do not want to go into marriage being addicted to pornography. And I'm telling you, as a young person, you can be free from pornography. And I know preachers will stand up and then do something different. But I want you to know, I've been free for 35 years. It worked. Jesus works. Jesus worked. I had all the struggles, but I had to bring my eyes and control what I looked at, which meant I just couldn't watch some things on TV. And I'm not talking about bad things on TV. I'm talking about James Bond. Because it just sent my hormone. Everything went crazy. I'm going, I can't watch this stuff. I'm a single guy. I'm going to explode. You know, so I was limited to very few pro. You know, even the Duke. No, you don't even know who the Dukes of Hazzard are. But even, I mean, you know, Tim knows. But I mean, even I'm not going to go there. But what I'm going to say is, it was limited to pretty much Paddington Bear. And so we just got rid of the TV. And there was a number of guys, we all lived together. So we just got rid of just threw the TV out. We didn't need it. And so we went cold turkey. Now you might go, you don't understand. My phone. I can't, well, just get it. You know, I've actually got, I meant to bring it along. I've got a phone that all it does is do phone calls. It is a marvel of technology. And you can, and it does text, but only up to 160 characters. And then you have to get another one, and another one, another one. But, and the battery lasts a week. Oh, it's amazing. But what I'm saying to you is, seriously, if this is a problem, get rid of the problem. Put it out and get free. Your eyes, Jesus says, are the source. Number three, we really need to move quick. Oh, that's a shame. What's number three? The attack. Okay. Understand the attack. You are a new creation, so the problem now is external, not internal. Jesus, when you read the stories of Jesus, there were different types of demons that Jesus would deal with. He often dealt with an unclean spirit. They're the same demons that were in Jesus' day, that were in my day, and that are about to die. They are demons that love to try and get you back into your old life. So what they will do is they will, especially if you've been in somewhere where there has been promiscuous activity. They're like bees. No, sorry, probably rats around a body. Okay, they're just all around. So when you walk in and suddenly you're inundated, you go, what's that? I've never smoked in my life. I tried one cigarette when I was 10 years old, took a drag. I was up a tree, unfortunately, fell out of the tree, hit the ground, healed. Never touched another one again. Okay, but I would travel a lot, and so I would go into a hotel room, and sometimes the smell of smoke, I really fancy a cigarette. I go, what's that? I don't smoke. Why? There were demons. And what they were doing was projecting onto me. There were unclean demons, and they will project images and attack you. Now, if you don't know what's going on, you'll think you're a bad person. You'll think, oh no, this is me, when it's not you. And what the way you get rid of darkness is you turn the lights on. And so as a young guy, I had to overcome the my natural body, what it was doing, bring my body under control. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. But I also had to deal with the attack that would come on. Now, demons cannot read your mind. Okay, so when the attack comes and you're thinking, go away, go away, go away, doesn't work. Okay, it feels like they can read your mind, but they can't. They're just used to dealing with people. So you have to say, get out of here. Go in the name of Jesus. You might need to walk around your room going, get any unclean spirits, get out. Remember, Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. She was a beautiful woman, but she was a woman that was caught in a promiscuous lifestyle. And she comes and encounters the king, and he frees her. But the scripture's clear, he had to cast 7 demons out of her to get her free. Now, there are demons on the, I'm not talking about demons tonight, but there are demons on the inside and demons on the outside. They'll attach or they'll attack. But most of the time, what you're dealing with is these demons attacking and trying to take you into your old life. And you have to tell them to go. It's the 5-second rule again. Otherwise, you start agreeing with them instead of the Holy Spirit who is within you. And trust me, when you... So you're commanding them to go. You're worshipping. Start worshipping. Start praying in tongues. They really don't like tongues. Okay? You know, we used to have holy water. I don't know if it worked, but it helped us. I mean, literally, we would anoint doors with oil. We would have holy water squirting it around just in case there was... I've seen demons just cower that wouldn't come out of people and go, this is holy water, squirt. They'd go, no, no. I mean, what's that? I tell you, fight back. You have the same power in you that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, we understand the attack. You've got it. Healthy relationships. If you're married, cultivate your marriage, including your sexual relations. Paul says this, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What was Paul saying? Married people, don't spend too much praying. Do some more lovemaking. That's Paul. That's what he's saying. You go, really? Yes, really. That's what he's saying. Have a group of people that you can be honest with. Again, switch the lights on. If you're struggling, whatever the area is, confess it. That tell people, people you trust, people that are not going to put it on Instagram, just talk and confess. And then they'll go, yeah, do you know what? I'm struggling with some of these things. And the moment you confess, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and free us from all unrighteousness. So there's a very powerful thing to confess. That's why we do communion. The blood of Jesus washing us clean. Here's my junk, Lord. We're saying, I'm clearing out the clutter. I'm getting rid of it all. Here it is, Jesus. It's all yours because I'm going to be clean. So healthy relationship. If you are single, learn to be a healthy single. And you will take health into your relationships. You know, we are all tempted. You know, so, I mean, Paul says no temptation is uncommon. What he's saying is all temptation is common. So, you know, it's probably not the person next to you, but just look at the person three along from the row. Just have a quick look, all right? Three along from the row. Okay, right. What Paul is saying is, however you were tempted, so were they. However you were tempted this week, so were they. We're all in this together. The lie is, it's only you. The lie is, nobody else is struggling from this. No one else has a problem with this. So you want healthy relationships where you can talk about it and you can pray for each other. It's why we have groups here. You know, if we're married, our chief confidant is our wife or husband. If you're not married, choose people of good character who are walking with God, hopefully leaders. But just talk to them. Tell them, I'm struggling with this. Put your hands on me. Number five, last one. We're almost done. I'm going to finish, then we're going to pray. Think ahead. Take precautions. Proverbs talks about staying away from the adulteress. I know I'm talking from the viewpoint of a man, but it works both ways. If you know this is a problem for you, take precautions. If your computer is causing a problem, get rid of it. Put software on it so you cannot view pornographic material. This is not rocket science, okay? But many people are caught in this trap. If your TV is causing you to sin, bar those channels. You see, if you really want to get free, you know, people often think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. If you're really struggling with pornography, print it out and bring it to church and put it on the chair next to you. You'll get free. Turn the lights on. This is my problem. Or if you're watching stuff late at night with the family and you get sucked in, just put it on pause and go, everyone, wake up. Look what I'm watching. You'll be free. You turn the lights on. The moment we turn the lights on, there is no power in it. Jesus is freeing us. Now, what I'm encouraging you is this is a journey of freedom. This is a way of living. And we are all on this journey. And there will be falls. Sometimes we stumble as Christians. And so we brush ourselves down and we get on up and we get back on the journey with Jesus Christ. And you go, well, how many times can I fall? As far as my Bible says, just make sure you don't fall about a second before your last breath. And even then, he's good and gracious and he'll forgive you. Because it's all paid for. But he's leading us on a journey of freedom. It's all paid for. It's all done. He just wants, you see, he wants us to stop living in the old life and start living the new life. That's what he wants for you. And one of them is the freedom from lustful desires, so that you can really love and cherish and go into a relationship as a healthy person full of the love of God. And you can flourish as people. Now, let me say, does that mean that if I do everything right, I'll have a perfect marriage? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you walk with Jesus, it is the best way to live our life. And if you listen to him, and when you meet that right person, which is what we were talking about, you both take that journey together, because it takes two to tango, then you will have an amazing life. Sometimes in relationships, people come in broken. Sometimes one partner will make a mistake and it all goes terribly wrong and you've done everything right. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. My prayer is it won't happen. And my prayer is that we will have a healthy church and families and relationships will thrive. Okay, but it starts here by starting a journey of health in how we view the opposite sex, in how we view relationships, and how we walk with Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of that's any help. But I'm telling you this because we love you lot to bits. Juliet came away. In fact, do you know what? Juliet and I always come away from this church going, we almost want to pinch ourselves. Is this really our church? Because of the people here and what God is doing here. And he's raising a new generation that's going to live differently. My generation, the baby boomers, really screwed some things up. He's given you, what are they now, Tim? Z. Z. What is, do you know what that stands for? Is it just Z? Is it the last generation? Is it like the end of the world? Yeah, let's hope we don't have to go through it again. Jesus has come. Why don't you stand up? Now, look, I'm going to pray now. And I'm going to pray for freedom. Now listen, Jesus says when those pesky critters leave, they go through dry and arid places looking for somewhere to rest. Okay, but then they come back and they find a house all swept and clean. And they come back in. What's he saying? You've got to clean the house. You've got to clean the house out and you've got to fill it with something else. You have to fill it with health. You have to fill it with Jesus. You have to fill it with good relationships. You have to fill it with fun. Let me just check. I hope no one feels bad right tonight. Because I'm not telling anyone off. Because this is a place of joy. This is a place of winning these battles with Jesus Christ. We can't lose because he's for us. Okay, so you wanna fill it not with condemnation, but with joy and gratitude and fun. This needs to be the, you know, one of the generations that has so much fun. So much dancing, so much joy in Jesus Christ that the world is jealous of what you have.